What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keep. God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So
Christmas, everybody. It's good to see you guys here. This is my, traditionally, it's my absolute favorite service of all of the services that we do throughout the year. Even this morning at our regular family-friendly Christmas service, which was so sweet, watching the kids up here singing and doing all that we did, but this one here is one that for some reason just touches my heart. And my favorite tradition, you know, we're in the middle of a regular series called Traditions. And so we're talking about the importance of holding on to those family traditions and reliving them every year and keeping those things that keep us anchored to a point in the past and help us stay anchored to the future and what it holds for us. And so this happens to be one of those that every single year, I know it's late, and I give you guys major credit for coming out here, but I hope it blesses you as much as it does me, because, this is just one that touches my heart. This is going to be a different service than we normally do. I know many of you who have been to our candlelight service before, but normally, during the day, we'll teach kind of an expository style, going through entire books of the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. This is a little bit different. This, we're going to go way back to some of the traditions that I remember as a child, and these things just stuck with me, and that's the idea of a call and response kind of a service. So I don't know how many of you who have ever, other than the ones who have been here for the Christmas candlelight service, how many of you who have done a call and response kind of service? It's very simple, though. You should have a program in your hands, and that's what we'll follow along when we get to the time. And I will do a call, and you'll do the response. Now, the call and response is a tradition that has gone back. It goes back hundreds and hundreds and really even thousands of years. To where I will say something, and it could be just as simple as, can I get an amen? And you respond back with, amen. That's a call and response, and the idea behind that is just to make sure that we have agreement and what's important. We are the body of Christ, and when we get together, we should have agreement in things. And if we don't have agreement, then we need to discuss those things and make sure that we can come together as a body, as one, and be able to exalt Jesus everywhere that we go. And we don't do that by arguing with each other over things. We don't do that by having heated discussions and things. We can have disagreements on certain things, but there are core essentials. There are core essentials. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion on the cross, his resurrection 3 days later, these are things that we need to have agreement in. Paul, the apostle, actually wrote a letter to the Corinthians. It's in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. He said, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." It was so important for unity. Again, we can have disagreements on certain things, but to have unity. And so the things that we talk about when we do a call and response, that's to get our hearts drawn together and to draw closer to him. That's why we do it. In addition to just the wonderful tradition of it all, we will have communion as a part of our service. I'll say it now before we get to that point. You don't have to be a member of this church to take communion with us. We'll serve it to you where you are. You do have to be able to say, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." And we do communion in agreement with what he taught. We do communion together in corporate agreement that what he did was for us. And so that's why we do it. And so when that time comes, we invite you to take communion with us. And then, of course, we'll have the candle lighting towards the end. So if everybody's ready, let's get into it. You've got your program right there. It'll take us a minute probably to get going, but let's do it. I greet you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. A reading from the book of Luke. This is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." This is the word of the Lord. A reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. To establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. So tonight we gather together, I tie my shoe before I fall down, to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful tradition being celebrated worldwide right now. As we speak, churches, congregations, and households all over the world are awaiting the arrival of the Messiah. Not only as our Lord and Savior, but as a fulfillment of promises, promises from God. The first hint of that promise actually happened in the Garden of Eden. Many of you have heard the story from Genesis. Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." That always sounds a little difficult to understand until you realize that it's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ to come and the ongoing battle with the darkness around him. Now, this was no afterthought. This was no response to an event or something that happened that was beyond what the Lord knew was going to happen. This was the plan to redeem mankind from day one. And so, at that moment, the waiting for a Savior began. Who knew how long that wait was going to be? The shepherds who heard from the angel Gabriel and a host of angels announce it to them in the pasture, they thought it was going to be any day. They thought it was coming right then. Mary assumed probably that her child Jesus would need to grow, but that this would happen immediately after that. Joseph probably thought the same thing. The disciples certainly thought that it had arrived and that Jesus was going to take his throne. The waiting went on, and it went on. And so on Christmas Eve, when we hold candlelight services, oftentimes they're called a vigil, a candlelight vigil. And that's what we're calling this one. And why do we call it a vigil? The definition of a vigil is a period of staying awake for something while you would typically be sleeping. In other words, it's to keep watch, especially in the overnight hours, watching and praying. In the Christian church, it's come to mean a festival or a holy day or some specific religious observance like that. But you see vigils all over the place. What we do tonight, the tradition of a Christian Christmas Eve vigil, actually began in the early Jerusalem church. Began back really in the early centuries, probably somewhere around 300 or so AD. And it began as the consummation of the Advent fast. On the third week of Advent, typically, would be when you would break that fast, and then they would hold a vigil at that time. And it's basically changed into a preparation for the Feast of Epiphany. Epiphany happens January 6th, and Epiphany, unless you may have Catholic background or Catholic friends, you might understand what Epiphany is, but many of us don't. Epiphany is celebrated 12 days after Christmas, and again, it's on the 6th of January. It's the time when Christians remember the time that Jesus was revealed to the Magi. And when that happened, Gentiles all over the world were also introduced to Jesus Christ. And this is great news for those of us who aren't Jews. It's great news. And that celebration is symbolic of that. Now, over time, the traditions of Advent and Epiphany have kind of blended together to what we call the four-week time of Advent. It's a preparation of your heart for the coming of Christ. It can be a time of fasting. It can be a time of repentance, a time of introspection where you look at yourself and look at your life, but it's preparation for the coming of our Lord. Now, Jewish tradition holds that a day goes from sundown until sundown the following day. It's not midnight to midnight. And Scripture tells us that Jesus was born around midnight. And so that's why we hold our vigils at this time. We gather tonight to hold a vigil in anticipation. Children will go to bed. Many of your children are probably already at home in bed. Hopefully there's somebody there with them. But they go to bed eagerly anticipating. But what they're anticipating is gifts and waking up to a house that smells maybe like fresh baked bread or cinnamon rolls. You know, like hopefully our house will, if I can make myself do it in the morning. You go to bed as a child with that kind of anticipation. But as an adult, we also anticipate those things. Don't get me wrong. Those are an incredible part of the day. But the true meaning of what we're waiting for, of what our hearts should be anticipating, sometimes gets lost in the shuffle of making sure we have our presents wrapped, making sure we have sent things and Christmas cards to relatives and things will get there on time, and the hustle and everything that happens around Christmas time, sometimes it gets lost and we can lose our focus. That's why we do this tonight. It's a focusing down on what exactly matters and what's coming. Imagine that you were a Jew thousands of years ago. You had heard, even 1,000 years ago or a couple thousand years ago, you'd been hearing prophecies for thousands of years before that of a coming Messiah. This promise of a Savior to come. And when Jesus came, the question was, could this be him? Could this be the Messiah that we were waiting for? All the way back in Deuteronomy 18:15, it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him." And many, many more. They thought, any day now. Any day now is when the Messiah will come. And when Jesus finally did come, they missed it. They're still waiting. Sometimes I think we miss it too. We know all the things. We know that Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem and all the stories that surround that. We know that it happened, but with all the trappings of the holidays, we can very easily let the point of the celebration be secondary to just our to-do list sometimes. It's easy to lose focus. So when we look out at the world, we look at all the things that are happening in the world today, what do we see? Do we see the bad news on the TV, the bad news on the radio, the bad news really that we're bombarded with? Or do we see hope? Do we see hope in Jesus? Because for every bad thing that happens out there, there is a hope on the other side. And that hope is only found in Jesus Christ. But do we see that? Do we see sickness and poverty all around us, or do we see the gift of life that Christ gave us? Do we see that? In other words, really, do we focus on the darkness or do we focus on the light? Because the forces of darkness are very loud. They have a large platform. They are everywhere. And you will be bombarded with death and grief and sorrow and hopelessness. You'll be bombarded with that. And in the midst of that, we can choose to stare at that darkness and wish it away. Or we can realize that it's always going to be there and focus ourselves on the light. Focus ourselves on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. When the sun rises tomorrow, I'll see a reason to celebrate Jesus Christ as a fulfillment of all of the promises of God. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we lift you up here tonight in thanks. Thanks that you came to earth in the flesh. God in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel, you came to be with us, to redeem us, to save us when we didn't know we needed saving. We thought we needed saving from governments and from armies, but in fact, the forces of darkness are so much greater, and you knew that. So you gave us the Holy Spirit. Your Spirit dwells inside of us. Your light dwells inside of us. And so we carry that light everywhere we go. When we enter a place of darkness, we bring your light. And it's through your sacrifice that we can do that. So Lord, we exalt you in this place tonight. We lift you up in thanks. And we await your birth and your arrival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are now going to take communion together. We've got some ushers who are going to hand out the communion cups. The worship team, they're going to play on while we pass the elements out. And I'll give you a minute to, they're the self-serve ones, a single serve. They can be a minute to get open. Don't take it yet, though. Just get it open, and once everybody does, we'll take it together. could take your cup, remove the wafer. Luke 22, verses 19 through 20. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take the wafer. Open the second layer. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Drink." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We're now going to go into the candlelighting. Jesus is the light of the world, born in the dark of night, but destined to be the light. Before the birth of our Savior, we were literally and spiritually in the dark of night. John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" I'm now going to come down to the first row and light the candle, and then you will spread the candle among you. I'd like to close with a benediction from Psalm 23. Many of you know it. If you do, feel free to pray it along with me. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace, and with the love of Jesus Christ in your hearts, you are dismissed. Merry Christmas, everybody.